I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 78, please. Psalm number 78. I'd ask the Lord what to speak on tonight. It's always a challenge. There's so much that needs to be said. So much problems in this world, so many different choices. And I was reading through this, and I thought, this is what we need to look at tonight. It's a little bit long. We'll take your time to read it. But, you know, it's amazing that we've got time to watch television by the hour, and yet we read Scripture by the minute. Isn't that the problem of our country today? We're wasting all our efforts and our times on things that really aren't as important. You know, people died just to have this Bible. I was reading on the internet the news I get from different locations, and they showed some pictures of believers in Vietnam. They had shipped over Bibles, and the Voice of the Martyrs had brought them to them. And these people were weeping to receive a Bible in their language, first time in their life. And they may be persecuted for it. Christians are dying, as mentioned earlier. And we have freedom and we have access. We ought to take advantage of it. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know, that introductory passage there, I should read one more verse. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's a good preamble for what we're going to say tonight, and it's a good synopsis of the Christian life, isn't it? We've been given from God an opportunity. We've been given from God information, the Word of God. We've been given salvation through Christ and all the things, and we have a responsibility to train it, pass it on to our children, and then they to pass it on to their children. If you recall, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 gives a similar pattern of passing down the truth. It says, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, there's a progression here. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know that famous passage, but there's part that is often overlooked, like so many times. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. When have they succeeded? When they've gone and done the same also, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. It's when they've gone and told others. And see, this is a continuing process. You see, we had received in our spiritual lives as believers the treasures of the gospel, eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, and a plan for the future. You know, I think sometimes in our zeal to preach the message, repent and believe and be saved, and that is so important. That's the most important. But that's the beginning. That's not the end. And sometimes the way we've attacked it, perhaps in some venues, it's been, you're saved, praise God, that's it, go on the next one. But it's, you must be born again. And then what's the next step? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And teach all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe. There's a process there. Many have tried to use the term making disciples. In other words, followers and those who would train others also. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make ye to be fishers of men. It wasn't a matter of just believing. That's it. That's the beginning. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And you're born from above, a new life in Christ. And the end of that is, of course, heaven forever. But from the time you're saved to the time you're in the glory, we have opportunity to grow and to minister and to be a witness to others, to pass it on. Sometimes we sing that song in our book, it only takes a spark to get a fire going and all that. We want to pass on that which was given to us. Why is our nation in the mess it's in? Why do they make reports like we referenced earlier today about Christianity waning in this nation? Well, there's probably a lot of individual reasons, but the summation of those reasons is a failure to pass it on to the next generation. We might think about how do we do that? And I'm reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it tells the great commandment of the Lord to Israel. Verse number 3 through 9 gives this illustration. It says, "Hear, therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You're to have the Lord as your Savior. You have the promise of God in your heart. And because of that, you're to love Him with all your being. It says, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then these words are to guide your life. That's the thing of which you ought to speak. I was talking to my friend Tony over there at the computer shop, and somehow we got talking about history, and I went on the internet, and I found Booker T. Washington. Did you know he wrote books? You know who Booker T. Washington was, I hope. He was a man born into slavery back in the 1800s. He lived a fairly long life and published some of his books in 1900 in the early days. At least that's the ones that I was able to download onto my Kindle. And I read a couple of them. One was Sowing and Reaping. And he's teaching those young men in Tuskegee, where he established that school for the folks down south. And he said, it's important to train my people. And he's talking about people that were born in slavery, or the children of those born in slavery, and coming into a new world. And he criticized the works of others that had merely taught them information, but not taught them to implement that information into livelihood. He said there are a lot of people going out learning about Greek and Hebrew and becoming educated, and all of a sudden now they're looking down on manual labor. And yet they have no way to make a living. But they're too good to work with their hands. They'll do something else less fulfilling. And, of course, Booker T. Washington's idea was, no, we're going to do both. From his own experience and from the example of the Massachusetts school, he started the Tuskegee school down there, and I guess it, I don't know if it still goes now. We've all heard in recent days of the Tuskegee Airmen that became famous in World War II. That was a result years later of what was started by this man, born in such dire conditions, and yet the Word of God and a love of learning took hold of him. And he taught the young men and the young women that came, yes, use your mind, but also use your God-given abilities to do things, to make a living, to work. And he said over and over in that little booklet, he said, all honest work is honorable. You know, we're in the same situation today in 2015 that many of those were in his day in the 1880s, looking down on work unless you got the good high-paying jobs. Well, you know, folks, a lot of us are never going to make the $100,000 a year jobs. And that's not God's plan for us. But you see, God has given us a pattern that we're to do with our hands and use our hands and our bodies and our minds and our abilities for the Lord. And whatsoever thy hand findeth, do it with all thy might. For you serve the Lord Christ. You see, he tried to teach them things. We're going to show others through our living what we have learned and give them an example to pass it on through the generations. It's very inspiring to me. He also had a couple of other books. One of them I started reading, Up From Slavery, his life story and how God worked. But amazing. Come from worse poverty than even we can imagine in our lives. And yet God used him in a great way. And he can use us. Think about the example here. I'm not going to have time to go through the entire psalm tonight as I kind of thought I would. But he gives them The promise from God was given to Israel. Our fathers have enjoyed some of it, and they were given the opportunity to share it with their children. And then the warning, they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Go back and read Joshua, and then read Judges. I mean, can you imagine from the time Moses brought them out, Joshua led them over, they started going the wrong way, didn't they? And it said Joshua challenged him at the end of his life, "Will you choose you this day whom you serve, the gods your father served on the other side of before the flood, or the gods of the people whose lands you dwell here in the Amorites?" He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then it says, "And they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua." But then there came another generation. They didn't follow. And the book of Judges goes up and down 7 times. People wandering away from God, and he sends judgment every time. An evil nation oppressed his people, and they suffered. And finally, after they suffered enough, they said, "Oh, God, we're wrong. You're right. Help us." And you know, he did it over and over again. That gives me hope for America. If we'll ever repent, God could send some relief. But you know, we're not there yet. We're so affluent. We're so satisfied with the status quo. We're so ignorant of real suffering and so mollycoddled by our society and all the false prophets. One of these days, it's all going to fall apart. And then the truth's going to be out, isn't it? We're going to find out who are really loving the Lord God with all their heart, mind, soul, and might. We're going to find out who really loves their neighbor as themselves. A few years ago, they were talking about 2000 was going to be the end of everything and stock up on supplies, and that's fine. But the other thing they were talking about, and get your guns ready and fill up with bullets so you can shoot your neighbors when they try to get help when you have food and they don't. And I thought, now how can you do that? How can you be a Christian and arm yourself for me and mine and let everybody else starve to death? Remember what 1 John says? If you have you see your brother in need, how come you shut up your bowels of compassion? We ought to be able to help others and share with them as others have shared with us. Because you know, the bottom line is that Israel forgot, and I'm afraid America has forgot. God's goodness to us isn't because we deserved it. It's because God is good. He told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, I stopped my reading, but it goes along there, shall have been... went in verse 10, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged and which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which were round about you. And then he goes on and talks about not tempting the Lord. When you get into that land, and in chapter 7, it talks about people having questions. It says, it comes to pass when your son shall ask you, what means all this? Tell him. We were strangers in the land and God delivered us. Tell him why. This idea that used to be popular, don't ask why, just do as I say, not as I do, that's a lie. We're to say, look, this is how God saved me. This is what the Lord brought me from, and he's blessed me heretofore. Now I want you to go further. You know, it's a matter of living and sharing with others. It's a shame that Israel failed like it did, but I think it's even a greater shame that this nation has failed. Because, you know, we had so much more. They had the Bible written on scrolls available to the leadership, and they were taught by word of mouth in the congregations and in the homes. We have the Bible available in every house. Most of it have it on our phone. We've got all kinds of information. But are we living better than our forefathers? Are we holier? Oh, we need repentance. Pray God that it be so. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these few...